We're going to go to Esther, chapter 2, starting in there. And we're going to be talking about time as this, you know. We're created for a time, for a certain purpose. And God has created us for a purpose. And He has a job for us all to do. Sometimes we don't all know it yet, but it comes. But we're going to start off in chapter 2 and verse 17. And the king loved Esther above all the women, and she obtained grace and favor in the sight more than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. So you have to understand that God was setting a stage here. God had a plan, because there's another person in this story that he had a plot against the Jews. But see, the king, he threw a great big party for multiple days. And he had these higher ups in his courts that were at this party. And he wanted the queen because Queen Vista was a very beautiful woman. She was easy to look upon. She was the most beautiful woman probably in the land. She was fair to look upon, is what the Bible says. And it was his queen. So after so many days, he said he wanted his queen to come to see these princes that came from various areas, because his kingdom was huge. That'd be like the president, for us to break it down, having all our governors of our United States come to his house or his palace. Put it in terminology we can understand. So he ruled over a great land. So it'd be like all the governors, but they were called princes. They were coming to this party. So he wanted to show his queen off to them after this party. But there was only one flaw that Vispa had, was that she rejected his command of send for my wife and she come. Send for my queen and have her come. She declined. That made the king very angry. And he didn't know what to do. And the princes become scared, because if the queen defied the king, which is the king was the highest powered man in the land, and his own queen would not listen to his king, her king, or her husband, then the princess thought, well, my wife will do the same thing in the same manner. We cannot allow this to take place. It grieved the king, because he liked Vispa. She was easy to look upon, but he had a situation in his house now, because she rejected that offer to come, because it wasn't an option. When the king said, I want you to come, the queen really did not have a choice. You were going into his presence, because he wanted that. King got whatever he wanted. And she defied him and told him, no, I'm not coming. And so that made them scared that if she rejected it, that they would have problems with their wives. So what happened then is the king sought out to have another wife and not make her queen anymore, because she wasn't obeying him, and they had to have a punishment for this queen for the rejection that she did to the king, because you cannot have a country run when their wives are disobeying their husbands and their leadership like that, because then it stems down from the leadership and it goes into the household, where you have these coups and you have people rise up against the king and their princes, and you have more problems. So if the house of the king is in order, and the house of the princes or the governors are in order, then the people houses will be in order. And the king understood this. So it set the stage to where now the king needed to look for a new wife to call her queen. And Esther was one of those ones, but she was a Jew, but no one knew that she was a Jew. If you read through the whole story, they didn't know that she was a Jewish people, because her uncle,
Mordecai,
Mordecai told her not to reveal of her people, of who she was, multiple times. And so she did so. So she found favor in the king's sight, and the king did make her be the queen and sat the crown over the other queen, that this one is the queen of queens. Whatever she says in the country goes. So Esther became the almighty queen of that land at that time, being a Jewish people. But Mordecai was a Jew, and there was things that happened, forerunning a little bit, things that happened, and then there was this other guy, his name was Haggai? Haggai?
Haman.
There we go. I'm horrible name. I told you. I know that there are all those names are in the Bible. Haman, which is, he did not like the Jews, but he did not know that the queen was a Jew. But he hated the queen's uncle. That's who Mordecai was her uncle. Because she had not a mother nor a father, but that her uncle raised her. So they did not know nothing of that, because these people were in captivity. The Jews were in captivity at this time. So this wasn't like a Jewish king. This was a pagan king. This was one of the ones that were in captivity. That they were in captivity, but yet she was going to be a Jewish queen in a pagan country. And that was how it was going to be. So this Haggai, he had issues with Mordecai, and he plotted and talked to the king and convinced the king that if he killed the Jews, that he'll give them so much money in order to be able to do something to add to his dowry. And you read throughout there, it's in there. And he plotted, and he thought, because he was a man of great, he was rising up. He wanted to be a somebody. He wanted to be a somebody. He could be king, so he was just underneath the king, but he wanted to be somebody important. So he was going to step on anybody who he could to get that power that he had. So the king gave him some power. He only had the power that the king gave him. And the king didn't know that Esther was a Jew. So when he gave that permission, he didn't know. Haggai didn't know that. Haggai, right? He didn't know that Esther was a Jew. So little did he know that he was going to be hurting himself in the long run. But for a time such as this, Esther had to do something and step up. And this is what we're going to talk about over in chapter 4. And this plotted out to where it got to the point that it got so bad that I mean, Mordecai did some good things, and the king liked Mordecai, and he wanted to honor him, and this Haman did like him very much because he wanted to kill him. He got permission finally to be able to do it. He built a gallows to hang him because he seen him in front of the courthouse when he went to go see the king, and Haggai thought that the king was talking about him because he wanted to honor somebody, because the king wants to honor somebody. And he asked Haggai, he goes, how can I honor somebody who done great to me, and I want to really honor this man? And he said, well, you put on your royal garments on him and give him your royal horse and parade him along with a man of the court and go through and give honor to the man across the city. Well, Haggai didn't like Mordecai, and he ended up having to take the clothes of the king, put them on Mordecai, and troop him down through. Meanwhile, they were having gallows being built for Mordecai. Haggai was having built because he wanted to kill him. So he had himself a plant, and then his family heard and said, this is not good. Meanwhile, Mordecai was being, Haggai was invited to meet with the queen. But before all that happened, there's a part in here I want to get to. Before all of that happened, in chapter 4, in verse 14,
Altogether,
hearken thee, peace, holdest thou peace at this time, then shall there
enlargement
and deliver against the Jews from another place, and thy father's house shall be destroyed, and whom knowest whether thou art come in the kingdom of such a time as this? Now Mordecai was telling Esther, now is the time to let the king know who you really are. Now is the time. But you have to understand something, kids, that the king had power. He had great power. And how it worked, when a king sat on his throne, he had a scepter. And nobody could come into that throne room, because that's where he made, when he was sitting on that throne meant something. You know what that throne meant? Meant power. Whoever sat there was the boss. The person who sat there did out royal decrees from there. He held his scepter. He had his thing. And what he said there went. That's what got Vispa in trouble. Is because he more than likely was on his throne and she refused. When he sat on that throne, he had ultimate power. Nobody came into that courthouse. He judged there. What his final word was, it was. You did not argue with the king when he sat on his throne. You didn't argue with the king whether he was on his throne or not. But when he was in there, it was a do or die situation. It wasn't like a calm and like, we're just going to have small chit-chat right here. And I want to get a feel out for what you got, what your opinion is. That wasn't a time for small chit-chat. That was like, I already heard your small chit-chat. Now I'm going to say, this is the way it's going to be. And whether you like it or not, that's the way it's going to be. I made my decision. That was where the throne room came in. That's why we just can't walk in. Back in the day, you couldn't just walk into the throne room of God like that. Because he sits on a throne. Ultimate power. That throne room represents something. And in the kingship, it represented something as well on this earth to the kings. So you just couldn't waltz in there uninvited. If you got called to that room, you were allowed to come. The queen was not even allowed to go to that room unless she was invited. There was only one circumstance, because she could not just go see her husband when she wanted to. She was summoned when he wanted to see her. Or she had to ask to be seen. She just couldn't always walk into the throne room and say, honey, I'm here. This is the way it's going to be. Or I want to need to talk to you. That wasn't how it was done. No, she had to wait for the invitation to come into that room or to see him. Especially in that room, in that situation. Because it was a matter. The matter that she was bringing before him was a matter that needed to be taken care of in that room. But it was one of those things. It's like a courthouse. And so there was ultimate power. So she couldn't just go there. If she walked in there, and if he didn't hold out that scepter to her, she would be killed instantaneously. They just haul her off and kill her. She had to be invited. The only time that was her saving grace was that the scepter was given out. But when the king noticed her in that room, he held out a scepter because she found favor in the king's eyes. The king loved her. Truly loved her. Because if you read down through there in chapter 5 and throughout the whole thing, he said, I'll give you up to half of my kingdom if thou wantest. You have to understand something, that a king does not like giving up power. To give up half of his kingdom is a statement of love, that she was more important than half of his kingdom. He would be willing to give away half of his kingdom for her. Pretty much was a statement. Because kings, whenever they obtain power, they do not like to give up power. But he was stating that he was willing for her to give up over half. So she found great favor in his eyes. And this is where she just asked him to go to a banquet. And Haggai to go to a banquet. and all this other stuff that I was telling you about transpired. And if you read down through it even further, finally she did say it. She did say these things whenever they finally went to a dinner. And Haggai was really scared then when he heard that she was a Jew. Because he plotted against the woman that the king loved. Haggai knew how much that the king loved Esther. So he knew he crossed some lines, didn't even know he crossed them. But because he wanted such power, he was willing to step on whoever he had to, that it cost him in the end. Because eventually when he heard these things, that he came and he plotted against the beloved queen of this king, he, the same gallows that he was for Mordecai was to be used for Haggai to be hung on. Haman to be hung on. And Haman was hung on these because of his deceit and what he was done. So he built his own gallows.
Mordecai was hung on the gallows.
Haman was hung on this that he built for Mordecai, but in reality he didn't realize he was building them for himself. The whole time he was building his own gallows. We build our own gallows sometimes because we put ourselves over the King of Kings sometimes. He thought he wanted ultimate power, and he wanted to destroy Mordecai because Mordecai was finding favor in the king's eyes, and he didn't like that. Hagar did not like that he had that problem, so he was going to resolve the problem by killing every Jew there was. But he ended up commanding to build these gallows for Mordecai to kill him. But then it ends up that whenever Esther said what she said at this dinner and that, the king had great wrath because he was willing to give up half of the kingdom for this woman. So it surely was a death sentence for him, and he ended up being hung. But the point I'm trying to make was she had to put her life at risk first because the king did not know. She had to go before the king where the king, she didn't know whether the king was going to put up the scepter or not. There's some things in life we don't know what the outcome is going to be. Sometimes we just have to do them.
Yeah.
And this was a situation where Esther did not know whether the king would. She knew that he loved her, but did not know whether the king would put up that scepter when she went into that courtroom to go, when he was sitting on that throne, whether he would or wouldn't. So she was putting her life, her own life, for her people, the Jewish people. And she was called for a time as this. This was her purpose that God had created her. We all come down to the purpose that nowadays we all have a purpose. Sister Brooke has a purpose. Kyle has a purpose. Micah, you have a purpose for God. But he does not always reveal the plan. It's not always easy to do what God wants us to do. Let's talk about some other characters throughout the Bible that had a purpose. David, he had a purpose. He reached out and he killed a giant. But why? Because he was created for a time as such as that. At that time, in that moment. This was his time. It was his time to have his glory. It was his time to elevate God. It was his time to be the servant of God. It was his time to kill the giant. It was his time to become king. It was his time to rule and reign. And he's still known as the great king of Israel. It was his time. We all have our time. There's going to be a time that it is your time to do your part. Esther had her time to do her part. King David had his time to do his part. Joseph had his time to do his part. You just think that these are just stories in the Bible. These are stories that keeps humanity going and that keeps God going and that we all will be saved. We all have to do our part. And Moses did his part in leading the children out of Israel. Joseph did his part in saving the people during the drought and not making a multitude of millions of Jews in Egypt until they were captive. They all played their part. It was their time. It's about their time. You are here and now. It's not their time anymore. It's your time. This in the Bible was their time. Peter had his time. It was his time. Paul was his time. Jesus that was on this earth had his time as a human being. While he lived for 33 years, he had his time. He lives forever through us, and that's how he gets his message across. But when in the flesh, he had his time in the flesh. He had his time. Mary had her time. People had the time. Daniel had his time, where he stood up against it and prayed anyway and ended up in the lion's den. Meshach, Radshach, and Abednego had their time. We look at them as great men, but they were willing to stand up for what was right because it was in their time. When there was a diversity, they stood up for what was right at their time. Amen. Now it is your time. Just because you're 2 or 5 or 6 or 13 or 15, 16 or 67 or 68, you're all in betweens, or 90, that as long as you're still alive, it is your time.
It's your time,
it's your time now. We can read about these times, these people in the Bible. Jeremiah, he had his time. Ezekiel had his time. Noah had his time. Just be grateful that Noah stepped up and was a great man of God and did what he did. Because you know what? We would not be here today if he did not stand up for his time. Abraham stood up for his time. Jacob stood up for his time. A lot of these men of God that we see throughout the Bible, they stood up for their time. But that does not mean that doesn't mean that you're no greater than them, because God may call you for a certain time as this. You don't know when it's coming. But the day and the hour that we're living in, our time is now. Our time is now. We might face adversity, but we still have to stand up for what is right, because it is our time. It is time for us to stand up for what we know is right. Just because Daniel did it back then, well, he was great. No, it's because he knew who lived inside of him. He knew who his God was. Do we really know who our God was? They knew who their God was, and they stood up for the time that they were in. It's their time was then. But you can read throughout the Bible of all these interesting characters, but remember, throughout all the stuff that they were doing, God was with them. Even if it feels like God is not with you, he's with you, Brother Kyle, in those moments. Sometimes it might not feel like. Do you think Daniel thought that God was with him whenever they were getting ready to throw him in the lion's den? He's standing at the top of the lion's den. He's looking down and he's seeing these roaring lions hungry because they haven't been fed for a few days. Because that's how they took care of people. They didn't feed those lions every day. Maybe they feed them to sustain them so they wouldn't die. But they didn't have no one to throw in there to them. But they try to keep them hungry enough that as soon as somebody comes into that pit, they just tear them to shreds. They get torn apart. So you think about Daniel. You think that he was feeling it was his time, that God was with him. Whenever he was standing there and he was looking down and he was looking at those hungry lions roaring at him. No, I don't think he thought that at the moment. But he still was going to stand up for what was right. And when they threw him into the pit, the lions did nothing. Why? Because God was with them. There's nothing that can harm us, per se. Our flesh, nowadays, we're in the new day to where our flesh may pass away. We're right with God. And our flesh passes away, but our soul's going to go to heaven. So God's always with us. But he was there with Daniel. And he did not fear of death. He was there with Meshach, Radshach, and Abednego. How would you like to be the one facing that fiery furnace? And they're going to throw you in. Would it feel like God's with you whenever they're going to throw you? And they actually throw you in. I mean, God's always right on time, but, I mean, come on. That's awful close. You're actually in the fire. But you read the Bible, they survived. They didn't even smell smoke on them when they walked out. They walked out of that furnace. Why? Because they stood for what was right, because it was their time. They did not bend. They did not falter. They were willing to die for what they believed. It did not matter. What did Job say? It was his time. Job had his moment. Think about that. Do you think God loved Job? I mean, come on. God let the man have all his children killed. Is that love? God allowed their sickness to fall upon him and have boils. Call that love? He had people come in and burn his fields. You call that love? Have an earthquake and kill all his children and people came in and raided his flock. You call that love? Seems like persecution to me. Do we call that love? Stop and think about that. But what was Job? What did Job say? Anybody know what Job said? Though he slay me, I will trust him. It was his time. He didn't know God's grand plan. He didn't know that he knew God was allowing it, but he didn't know that the devil went up and talked to him and that God took the shelter that was around him, that was up and around him, off of him. He didn't know all the things that were going on. God let that trial happen. We will go through trials sometimes. But it's for that this time. Because there's always a purpose. There are sometimes we go through things in life that helps other people. I've had some things that I didn't feel like God was really there at all. But hindsight's 100%. Stuck it out. Made it through. And now I can help other people in those circumstances because I understand. I have a better understanding. So God allowed that to happen so I had better understanding for this time. See how a moment it's for this time. You are created for this time. They were created for this time. Esther was created for that time. We have a choice. The point is we have a choice. We can choose to listen. We can choose to stand up for what's right. We can choose to just simply, I'm just going to worry about myself and I don't want to get hurt and that's craziness, and you can choose not to. Esther had a choice. But in the end, it would have destroyed her because it was God's plan, a way to save the Jews from this evil plot somebody had against them. Just like the God's plan was for the Jewish people to raise up as a nation in Egypt. His brothers plotted against him, but Joseph became the second ruler of the land of Egypt, and they flourished, and his brethren and his household and his father's household flourished in Egypt. It was part of God's plan. Even though they plotted against him, it was part of God's plan. Even though Haman, horrible names that starts with those H's. Even though he planned against the Jews, God already had a plan. Even though his brothers planned against Joseph, God already had a plan for Joseph. God already had the plan for Moses. God already had the plan for Joshua. God already had the plan for Jacob. He already had the plan for Isaac. He already had the plan for Noah. He already had the plan for Shem. He already had the plan for Esther. He already had the plan for... You're already in God's plan. You just have to play your part at your time. Is that understandable? You have to play your part at your time because God already has a plan for you. He already has it. He had a plan for Peter. He had a plan for Saul. He had a plan for David. He had a plan for King Solomon. He had a plan for Jeremiah. He had a plan for Elijah and Elisha and for Enoch. Elijah was taken. So God still has a plan. He took them for a reason. He still has a plan for them. We do not know. But he has a plan for them. He had a plan. He took them for a reason. He has a plan. God has a grand plan. And we're all part of it. But you have your part, you have your time. And as long as you're living on this earth, it is your time, and you will play your part when it comes your turn. When the opportunity presents itself, it'll be your time as such as this. You don't know when that's going to be. Right? You could be 70 years old whenever that happens. Sarah was in her 90s when her time came. Giving birth to Isaac. She was in her 90s. That was God's plan. That was her time for that time. That was her purpose, was to produce Isaac at that time, at the age of 90. So we don't know when that time is coming. There's a time for us. There's a time that when we will elevate God's glory, we will serve God's purpose. We do it throughout our whole entire life, but there's that time when God will call us out saying, you have to make a choice. Sarah made that choice. She had that child at the age of 90. And now our Savior came from that. The whole children of Israel came from that. But she had her time. Everybody has their time. Some might be seem like it might be less than others. Some might seem greater. But in God's plan, they all play a part. Sister Judy, she plays a part. I played my part. The pastor plays his part. Everybody plays their part of God's plan. And God knows when the time is for that to happen. Yet diversity happens. Things that we're not planning on. Because God doesn't say, well, this is how your life's going to go. This is what you're going to do. Exactly. It just presents itself sometimes. I'm like, oh boy, I don't want to do that. Because if you knew everything you were going to have to go through in order to get where you need to be, you might not want to be here. Because you think some of the stuff that David went through, he wanted to go through, he had a king trying to kill him. If he'd have known he was going to go through all of that, would he have played his part from the beginning? In the beginning, as soon as you're born, you just know exactly everything that's going to happen in your life. Would you play your part in God's plan if you knew what you were going to have to go through? There are Christians that we look at the voice of the martyrs from time to time. They're persecuted. Some were killed. If we knew that was going to be our purpose and part of God's plan somehow, would we go through it? We don't know. We don't know when our time comes what we're going to do. But what we have to do is we have to remember that for a time as this, the time as this is your time. You have to look at things as now. Not as back then. Well, that was for back then. And these people in the Bible. They all played their part. And God put them. Because this is the living word of God. He told us everything throughout humanity is in this word. The history of humanity is in the word of God. He tells us how we are made. He tells us how he destroyed us almost once. He tells us how he had mercy and he created a nation out of the seed of Abraham. He tells us how he brought a savior, another way for us to be saved. Because God wanted to save humanity because he tells us how sin entered into the world. We naturally want to sin. And he knows, he tells us exactly how it became in because of disobedience of Adam and Eve. He tells us how everything transpires and he puts us all in the Word of God from the beginning to the end. He tells us how it's going to end. If you read the ending of the Bible, he's telling us how it's going to end. We really have to read it. He tells us how it's going to end. And you know how it begins? He created us. And you know how it ends? Even though that sin entered the world, and because sin entered the world, God had to take action. And in the end, you know what it tells us? That him and his children still will be victorious in the end in Revelations. For those who diligently seek him, for those who ask for his forgiveness, for those who serve him, they will find grace and they will be saved. And in the end, we will rule and reign with them. That is the ending for us. These men of the Bible had some knowledge of this. They played their part. These women played their part. They were willing to do whatever it took to do their part. And today, we can stand up here, we can stand here, preach behind pulpits, preach the gospel, because of what these men and women have did. We still can be a living testimony ourselves, shining God's light through us, because it is our time. She was a living word of God at her time. She was living the life at her time. She did not, I don't think Esther knew that they were going to write a book about her. How many of you think that they thought that they were going to write a book about Esther? I don't think very many, I don't think she thought that. Did Job know that they were going to write a book about him? Was one of the oldest ones. Or did Adam even know that he was going to write a book of the about him? Or Noah? Or Abraham? Did they know that they were going to have a book written about them? As part of the Word of God was going to be with them in it? Did they even know? Because back at the beginning, they did not have the Bible when Adam was around. A lot of the scriptures is believed, now you can quote me because you're Bible scholars, but it believed the first five books of the Bible come from Moses. Written by Moses, I believe, the five books of Moses. So that's all the way to Deuteronomy, from Genesis to Deuteronomy, was written by Moses. So how did Moses know about Adam and Eve and Noah and Shem and the descendants? God talked with Moses. God told him what to write down. And he wrote all about them. They didn't know that they were going to be 7,000 years later. It's average, if you do the math, it's close to 7,000 to 6,000 years from Adam. Did you know? He didn't know that we were going to be reading about him in a book. I didn't even know what a book was. To be honest with you, he lived to be 930. He probably didn't even know what a book was. Who knows? I don't know. Scriptures don't get too detailed about certain things, but the point being is God wanted these people in the Bible for a purpose, to teach us life lessons, the struggles that we go through, the persecution, even though it might be hard, we still should do it. Esther had to do something that was hard, and she still did it. David rose up against something that seemed impossible, and he still did it. Meshach, Rachshach, and Abednego were facing something that would have been death for them, and they did it. Daniel was facing death and got thrown into a lion's den, and he did it. Why? Because they loved their God so much that they weren't going to bow to a. They weren't going to bow to a an idol of a king and worship it. They weren't going to. Daniel, he wasn't going to. What's praying? Anybody know what praying is? What is praying? What are you doing when you're praying? Kids? When you pray, what are you doing? Should know this one. Bina? Yeah, you're talking to God. So Daniel, they made a rule where you couldn't pray. So they were pretty much telling Daniel that he could not talk to God anymore. Is that okay? How many of us talk to God? Most of us, we all talk to God. Prayer is a way of talking to God. How would you like it if somebody told you that you couldn't talk to God anymore? You wouldn't like it. So Daniel stood up and he ended up in the lion's den. Now, I shouldn't say this, but how much would you like it that you wouldn't have to talk to your husband, Kyle? Sister Brooke? Well, anyway, you wouldn't like it very well if I told you you couldn't and you wanted something. You know, this is kind of the same way. When we're talking to God, we like to talk to certain people and be like, you have your favorite friend you want to talk to. Now think of the devil, your favorite friend. And I come up to you and I say, you can't talk to them anymore. You're not allowed. If you do that, I'll hit you up the side of the head until you feel it the next Tuesday. And then you did it anyway. Why would you do it anyway? Because you really like talking to that friend, and it seemed unjust. Well, Dan, you really loved talking to God, and he was not going to surrender that part. So in his time, he's like, nope, I'm going to stand up for what's right. I'm still going to talk to my God, the one who I love. These men and women of the Bible, they stood up for that, the time as this in their time. But then we need to become men and women and children of God that stand up for the time that we are in. And this is important that we grab a hold of this, because as time goes on, we will get to the point that we're going to have times where we're going to be challenged to where we can not do what's right or do what's right. We should always do what's right. And it's the time as this. We are in this time. The time as this.